die this year? How many want to die this year? Okay. How many want to thrive this year? All right, there we go. There we go. We want to thrive. This is our year to thrive. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's thrive. What does it mean when we say the word thrive? Well, let's look at what the dictionary says about the word thrive. Thrive is to grow or develop well. To grow or develop well. It also uses words like flourish, blossom, advance, succeed. This year, I believe that God wants you to bloom. He wants you to grow and develop well. If you didn't know this, I want you to know this very clearly from the very start. Here at Destiny Church, we expect, we desire, and we encourage you to grow. We want you to grow. You should be growing in your walk with God. You should be growing in your knowledge of God. You should be growing in your gifts of the Spirit working in your life. You should be growing in the Holy Spirit and you walking together. You should be growing in what God is doing in your life. And my measurement is not, I'm not measuring myself against you. This is not a contest. I measure myself against the person in the mirror. I should look at myself this time next year, and say, you know what, did I grow this year? Did I take steps to grow this year? And I believe this year God wants you to thrive. Matter of fact, I love this scripture. Look what it says here. In Proverbs 29:2, it says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. How many are tired of hearing people groan? I mean, come on now. We hear that everywhere. We grow, people growing all, they're growing all over social media. They're growing all over the place. How about it's time that the righteous thrive so that the people can learn to rejoice? That I don't thrive because of an economy. I don't thrive because of who's in the White House. I don't thrive about who's in Congress. I thrive about who Jesus is in my life. I thrive about how deep my roots are going. I thrive because God is blessing me. God is blessing my family. God is blessing me and directing me and changing my life. I want you to thrive. So one more time, say, I want to thrive. We're learning to thrive. Now today, I want to ask you the question, where are you? Where are you? For all of us here today, that's a different place. As I said, you have to look in the mirror and answer that for yourself. I can't answer that for you. You have to look in the mirror. And I don't compare where I'm at to where somebody else is at in this room. I compare where am I at now? Where was I at last year at this time? Am I taking steps to see that I thrive? Am I helping set up environments to help my family thrive? Am I doing things that are helping us go forward? Or am I taking steps back? Am I just complacent? What is happening? And let's look at this scripture, Genesis 3, 8, and 9. When Adam and Eve are in the garden, this is what happens. It says that they heard the sound of the Lord walking, of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? We're going to come back and we're going to end our time together with this verse. And I want to come back and expound more on that. But I want to ask you that question. Where are you? So how do I thrive? How do I see God's best this year in my life? The plain and simple question to that, answer to that question is simply this. If you want to thrive, you got to go deeper. You got to grow your roots deeper. I know, Pastor, really? Yeah, that's really the answer. This is really how we thrive the most. The deeper I plant my roots in God, the deeper I plant my roots in the things of God, in the heart of God, into His kingdom, the deeper I plant my roots, the stronger I become. The bigger my fruit becomes, the more fruit I produce in my life. We must grow our roots deep. Listen, there's no shortcutting around this. There's no way to thrive where you can shortcut this. The way to thrive, you must grow your roots deep. And then you got to declare, I'm going forward. I'm not going to be blown around. Because what happens to the person who doesn't have strong, deep roots? When they just have roots on the surface, they look good on the outside. But as soon as the storms come and the winds begin to blow, and they come, and they will blow, you're blown over. You don't stand up. You don't last. Why? Because my roots wasn't deep enough. So I've got to declare that I'm growing deep roots this year. I'm going to allow God to plant me, to allow me to thrive exactly where He wants me. I want God to do this in my life. Listen to this statement today. Many times, it's harder to stay in the place God has placed you than it is to get there. Think about that. Many times it's harder to stay planted, to stay with your roots deep, than it is to get there. You know, we fight really strong many times. We have to fight through hell in our life. We break through and get through that junk, and we start leaving people behind in our life, and we start cutting through our past to fight, to begin to advance where God wants us. And we finally get, all right, God, I'm growing my roots deep right here. I'm allowing them to grow deep right here. And we get here. And that was hard to get here. But let me tell you, it's just as hard or harder to stay here. Because what happens is this, we come, and Pastor Jeff, give me a hand. We come and we plant ourselves here, and the whole time I'm trying to stay planted, my friends are pulling at me, my past is pulling at me, my past addictions are pulling at me, my bad habits are pulling at me, my bad thinking is thinking at coming pulling at me. Come on. Now, come on, my hurt is pulling at me. Woo! You're doing a good job there. All right. You did a good job. See, it's awesome. It's hard to stay there. And so that's why I've got to continue to grow my roots deep. I got to allow them to go deep in the things of God. I got to decide right now, man, I'm going to plant myself. And many of you done that. Now what's the next step? Go deeper. Go deeper. Plant yourself deeper. Allow your roots to go deep in God. We have way too many people that have the mindset, God, if you'll just help me get out of this mess. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, if you'll just help me get out of this mess, I promise. I'll serve you deeper. I'll be more faithful to church. I'll be more faithful in giving. I'll do this. We make all these promises with God only to, when things get better, to uproot ourselves and to gradually slide back to where we were. I did that as a kid all the time. God, when that principal calls my dad, when I take this note home and tell him I'm getting licks tomorrow at school, and I got to have a permission slip signed, God, if you just get me out of this one, just don't let my dad kill me when I get home. It's comical, but you know what? We do the same thing as adults, right? God, if you'll just get me out of this mess, God, if you just get me out of this financial mess, I'll start tithing. God, if you just get my marriage out of this, I'll give more attention to it. God, if I just get me out of this, God, I promise I'll be faithful to church every week. God, if you just get me out of this, and we find ourselves trying to do things, and then we just don't stay there. You see, we have too many elevator Christians. Up one day, down the next day. Up one week, down the next week. Up one month, down the next month. Listen, God doesn't want you to go from extreme high to extreme low. He calls that person unstable in all their ways. He says they're like the being tossed around, man, from the seas, the winds of the sea. They toss them around from wave to wave. No, he goes, I want you to learn to be more steady. I want you to learn to give what you're planted, and you stay there. You stay planted. And this is what we got to learn. We got too many people that are up and then down and then up and then down, and they're hit and missed. No, if you want to really thrive, you got to plant yourself. You got to allow your roots to go really, really deep in the things of God. And say, God, I want you to take me deep. I want to thrive this year. I've got to learn to allow God to take me and plant me. See, we are called to go from faith to faith. We're called to go from glory to glory. That's where we should be moving to. And this is the difference. See, when I plant myself in the things of God, when God uproots me and plants me here, I didn't lose any depth. I only go deeper. But when I uproot myself and take steps back, I lose the depth of my roots. But when God picks me up and sets me onto a new platform, when God sets me up and puts me into a new place, my roots not only go there, but they even go deeper. You notice the difference. So I got to say, I'm going deeper. I'm taking my roots deeper. I'm going to go deeper in the things of God this year. See, environments really matter to God. Environments really, really matter to God. See, your environment is either helping you grow or helping you die. This goes back to the principle. In the month of November, we talked a lot about the power of our words. The power of our words have life and death. Same thing here. Our environment is either helping us grow or our environment is helping us die. Which one? Where are you at today? What are you allowing to be your environment? What's flooding your mind? What's the environment your children are living in? What's the environment your teenagers are living in? What's the environment that your family's living in? What's the environment you're putting your head in, your thoughts in? What's the environment you're placing in your heart? What's the environment that you're allowing yourself to be around? Who are the people that are influencing you? Who are the people who are there with you? I don't know who my kids. You better know who's influencing your kids. You better know the environment you have them in. I don't know. They're teenagers. Well, you better find out. Because the environment is so important. Think about it. You know, when I've had many times over the years where I've helped some different families, and maybe they're having trouble or they have something happen with one of their children, and they'll tell me, you know what, we're having trouble with this particular child, and then we moved houses to a different school district, and then all of a sudden that kid began to blossom, began to thrive. Their grades improved, their attitude improved, their whole outlook in life improved. What happened? You changed your environment. And sometimes it wasn't nothing that happened on purpose. You just had a job change, or you had to move. You were renting or leasing, and now you're buying and owning. And you just had to change districts, and you saw your child either thrive, and sometimes even the opposite happens. You see them take a step back. What happened? You changed their environment. See, environments really, really matter. And it's something that doesn't just happen to us as adolescents and as children, as teenagers. Environments affect us all of our life. Environments matter all of our life. They really are a really big deal. They infect us. Our environment at work infects our attitude. Our environment at home affects our attitude. Our environment around us, I mean, everything affects us. And God has a lot to say about environments. God had a lot of care when it comes to environments. Think about it. Let's go back to the very first book of the Bible in Genesis. When God began to create the earth, He spent 5 days creating the earth and one day creating Adam. 5 days on the environment, one day on the man. Why? Because environments really matter. Did He create the birds first or the sky first? He created the sky. Did He create the fish and the whales and the sharks of the sea first, or did He create the sea first? He created the sea first. Did He create the cattle in the fields first, or did He create the fields first? He created the fields first. Let the grass grow. Let the trees grow. Why? Because every time He places something there, He's already set up an environment to sustain that, to produce growth and life. Environments really matter to God. Really matter to God. And what you are allowing your environment to be in your life, it's affecting you one way or the other. If your environment's not producing you, encouraging you to thrive toward the things of God in your life, then you need to change some of the people and some of the environment you're in. This isn't rocket science. You want to thrive? Be around people who encourage you to thrive. Be around an atmosphere that encourages your spirit. Be around things that help you thrive in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to thrive. We must grow our roots deep, and we must pay attention to our environment. Let's look what happens here in chapter 2, verses 15 of Genesis. Then the Lord God took man, and said what? And He put him in the garden. God put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Adam didn't just stumble into the garden. Adam didn't just happen to be, oh, look at this. This is a pretty nice place. I think I'll stay here. No, the Bible says that God took Adam and placed him into the Garden of Eden. God placed him there. You see, God places you places. He places you. I can't tell you, we've had so many people here at Destiny that tell me that I was just driving by. Man, I was just driving by Rangeline, or I was working behind here somewhere, or I was going to do this or that. I was shopping next door. And I said, I just feel like God was telling me I need to come and check this place out. And when I came in, it's like the Spirit of God just grabbed a hold of my heart, and I knew this is where I needed to be. We hear that same story over and over again so many times. Why? Because God's trying to plant you somewhere. God's trying to place you a place where you can grow. God's trying to place you into a place where God can do something in your life. See, you'll have family that'll come to you and be like this. You know what? You need to come over here with us. You need to come to our church. You need to do this and that. And listen, I understand that. I understand families want to be together, and that happens, okay? That happens. I understand that. But let me tell you this. You can't just thrive anywhere. You got to be a place God's calling you. And sometimes you reach a point in your life when just a simple homily and a couple hymnals isn't going to do it for you. You got to be somewhere where somebody's going to get in your face and challenge you, and the Word of God's going to come and hit you where it needs to be, where you can grow and you can flourish and you can thrive. You got to be there. You can say, you know what? I got to be in a place where I'm thriving. And right now, God's called me to be here. He's called me to thrive here. He's called me to thrive here. And I got to stay planted and grow my roots deep. And the reason why I tell you this is because we see a very unhealthy, ungodly trend happening over the last several years. It wasn't just a decade or two ago. You could count on about 70, 75% of your church being the core of your church. Man, they were here every week. Unless they were all gone on vacation, man, they were here every week. And now we see that changing to where it's about 50% or less now are really the core, and everybody else just kind of rotates through. Some come through every once a month. Some come through every 2 months. And they're like, hey, man, I'm planted. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you're only coming to church once a month or once every 6 to 8 weeks, you're missing out. You're not growing your roots deep the way God intended for you to be. And so you're not going to thrive the way God wants you to if you don't put yourself somewhere and grow your roots. And listen, I know Destiny is not the only church in town. There's a lot of healthy, great churches in our area. And people are thriving there. But God, when God put you here, He put you here to thrive. And God has you here for a reason, that you can thrive and go. And listen, you gotta say this. I'm going to make sure, as for me and my family, we're thriving. Come on now. Can I just be honest this morning? Come on. Someone say, Pastor Gene, be really honest with us. Thank you. I'm going to. Thank you. There's a lot of society is no longer honoring the Sabbath. It no longer honors God's day. And so we see this happening that, man, schedules are happening 7 days a week. Tournaments are happening 7 days a week. Other things are happening 7 days a week. And if you don't guard that for you and your family, man, the person you know, all right, you know, we got travel volleyball, baseball, softball, basketball. Then we got spring break, and we got winter break, and we got vacation, and then we got birthdays. And pretty soon, you only got about 20% left of the year to attend church. Well, but you know what? I'm there. That's my home church. That's where God's put me at. No. If you're there, you got to be there. And you got to work it. Listen, I understand. Listen, I'm not trying to come against anybody who's got to travel for a baseball team. Listen, some of our staff do that, and we work hard communicating in the ways that can happen in a healthy way. And it's hard sometimes. But you know what? If you know that, all right, during these 2 months, we're gonna be hit and miss a lot because we're traveling, then the rest of the year, we're gonna make sure we're there. We're gonna make sure it's a priority of our family to be there every Sunday. And if we have a game at noon, I'm gonna come to the early service so we can leave and be there at noon for that service. We're not gonna take the whole day off. Why? Because I'm teaching my kids that God is more important than any other sport. I gotta grow my roots deep. Come on, you're getting kind of quiet on me this morning. And listen, you know me. My kids play travel ball. My kids, all of them play sports at one time or another. I have a D1, son who's playing D1 football in Springfield. So you know, I'm not against any of those things. I'm for that. And it's hard. I mean, if you're doing that, it's hard. But you've got to do it. Let me tell you this. There is less than a 0.5% chance. I'm telling you, it's even in some studies, even less than a third of a percent. Not 30%, less than a third of 1% of kids will ever have a chance to play pro ball. But let me tell you this, 100% chance they will stand before God one day, and you're going to have to give account. Did you make church a priority? Did you make God a priority? What environment are we growing our kids in? See, we got to say it, because we're one generation away from losing it. We're one generation away from church not being important anymore. I can just sit home and watch church online, or I can do this, and we lose it. No, listen, online church is great. We hope to be on live this year. That's one of the goals we have, and to get good cameras and to do that. But that's a tool for people who aren't coming to church or who have to be gone, and they can go and see that. But if you're able to be there, get there. Rub shoulders. Worship with one another. Serve the local church. Why? Because I'm growing my roots deep. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching really good today. I needed to hear that. All right. Today, we are learning what God wants us in our life. If you want to thrive, it's going to happen because you make it intentional. Look what Genesis 1:28 says. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You see, when you stay where God puts you at, there's an anointing in your life to multiply and be fruitful. When you plant your roots deep where God's placed you, he will cause you to multiply. God will cause you to be fruitful. You're not going to be fruitful. Look into me. You're not going to be fruitful by going to this church this year, going to a different church, the next year going to a different church. The next year you're going to a different church. The next year you're going to a different church. We're all serving God, yes, but you got to plant yourself. Plant yourself somewhere. Serve. Support. Listen, I know there's times you got to change. Circumstances happen that sometimes change is necessary, but it shouldn't be common. It should be the exception that, you know what, that has to happen. We should plant ourselves somewhere. Grow our roots deep. Why? Because the more people are growing their roots deep, the more people who are thriving, the more people, when people come in the open chair, when we have the open chair and we're reaching people who need to be here, there's people here who are ministering to them, who are reaching them, who are nurturing them, who are discipling them, who are reaching out in relationship to them. You're important. You're important. Your family needs to know. Man, we're going to be at the house of God every chance we have. We're going to grow our roots deep, not only on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. It's about a lifestyle of growing our roots deep. And it starts by growing them deep where God has planted us, where God's placed us. Today, I want you to grow your roots deep because I believe God wants to do more in your life. Do you love me this morning? Come on now. Do you love me this morning? I know I'm preaching good this morning. I know. Why? Because I want you to thrive. I want you to thrive. I want to be honest with you and tell you this is how you thrive. See, look what verses 18 and 22 say in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God said to them, it's not good. God said, it's not good that man should be alone. And all the men say, amen. That one right there. It's not good that man should be alone. I don't know if he was worried about Adam running through the garden with scissors or something. Not really sure what was happening here. But he was like, you know what? It's not good that man's alone. Because I will make him a helper comparable to him. Then the rib which the Lord had God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought, look what it says, he brought her to the man. He brought her to the man. See, when you put your roots deep where God's placing you, God will bring to you what you need. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I think I got to go out there and find for myself. Well, how's that working for you? How's it working for you? I ain't finding. Listen, you quit trying to bring everything to you need. You work on putting yourself deep in God and let God bring to you what you need. Now, I'm not only talking about a person here, but I'm talking about other things in our life. The things that we need, not the things that we want. There's a big difference, but the things that we need, when you plant yourself deep, God will bring the things that we need. Adam needed a woman. He knew he was not complete. God will bring to you what you need when you plant yourself where God is placing you and you grow your roots deep. God brings into our life. He brings exactly what we need. Look at that. God will bring to you what you need when you grow your roots deep. See, God told Adam and Eve, he said what? He gave them one command. What was that one command? Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember that? The rest of the garden you can have. You can have all these other trees you can eat of. You can hang out everywhere you want, but stay away from this one tree I want you to stay away from, and don't eat of the fruit of it. And then the Bible says that the serpent went to Eve, and he led her to the tree, right? No, that's not what happened. The serpent didn't go to Eve and lead her to the tree. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the serpent met Eve at the tree. He met her there. See, she was hanging out in the wrong environment. She was hanging out at the one place God didn't want her to be. And that's where the enemy was waiting to meet her there. See, the enemy always looks to meet you when you step out of God's will. He's always waiting to meet you when you uproot yourself and take you out of where God's placing you. The enemy's waiting. He will bring you what you need, but he's also, the enemy's waiting for you what? The enemy's waiting for you when you step out. Step out of what God wants. The serpent will met her there. See, when you step out of the place God has planted you, Satan will meet you there. Grow your roots deep. Look at verses 3, 8, and 9. Let's go back to that text again. Now we see this, we read it earlier. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now we realize this is the time that God had set up for him and Adam to commune, okay? He'd been coming, spending time with them every evening. This is what they were doing. And Adam and his wife hid themselves this time from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Did God know where Adam was at? Yeah. It wasn't like they were playing Marco Polo. Adam, Marco, Polo! Marco, Polo! Oh, there you are, Adam. God knew where Adam was at. The question was this. He was simply saying this. Listen, you're not where you and I were meeting. You're not where we designated our time to meet. You're not here. Where are you? I've designated this time for us to meet. And where are you? I wonder if there's several times that maybe God thinks that same thing on Sunday mornings across the world. Or Saturdays, whenever it is. Hey, I designated this time for us to meet. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, okay. You had a game. Okay. All right, I see. Oh, you want to go explore today. Okay, great. All right. Oh, there's a good sale going on in Arkansas. You had a good already. Okay, I see. I got you. All right. Come on now. It's always something. I'm not against vacation, and I know things happen. I'm following those things, and you have to go spend time with family. I understand that. But you gotta guard those times. Make it sacred. Say, God, you know what? Man, we're going to do our best to be planted and grow our roots deep as much as possible so we can thrive. And listen, it's not just Sunday morning. Some of you have done this already in your life. You say, God, I want to meet you. God, man, I've been so out of it. All right, God, early in the morning, we're going to have a cup of coffee. I'm going to open up the Word. I'm going to spend a few minutes before I leave to work just put my mind upon you. And you do that for a while, then eventually you slowly stop sleeping in and that stops. Maybe it's on the way to the work. You're going to listen to worship music and pray and get your mind right for the day. And you and God are just having a great atmosphere on your drive to work. And pretty soon that goes from that to, well, let's go to talk radio and find out what's happening today in Washington. Or let's go on and find out what's happening on sports radio today with my favorite team. And pretty soon we're not meeting God where we said we'd meet him. Maybe it's your lunch break. Maybe it's your bedtime. Whatever it is, you spend times away for God to meet. And God's like, where are you? I'm here. I'm here. Where are you? Where are you at? See, if you want to grow your roots deep, you want to thrive, you got to have those times when you're meeting the Lord, spending time in his presence, spending time with him. Listen, I'm going to set something up for you here. I'm going to challenge you today to join us in a 21-day challenge, something we do here every year at the first of the year at Destiny Church. It's a 21-day challenge. I'm asking every person today who comes to this church that you say this, that I want to accept. I hope that you accept. And I'm asking you that we accept the 21-day challenge. I'm asking you to pick a fast that will challenge you. The word fasting was a spiritual principle we find in the Bible. Many times when God would ask, people would ask for certain answers for God to do something. God would ask them to fast. Or remember one time when God was praying, these disciples were praying. They said, Jesus, why couldn't we do this? He said, that kind of power comes only through fasting and prayer. So we see this principle through Scripture. When we fast and we pray, it increases the power of what God wants to do in our life. But most important part of that is this, it refocuses back. See, we have so many things taking place that are taking our attention. We crowd it throughout the year. This takes our attention. This comes in. And before you know it, God's gotten crowded out. He's like, where are you? So the 21 days is coming back saying, God, the first of the year, we want to take 21 days and just realign ourselves by putting you back first in our life. Because this year I want to thrive. This year I want to grow deep. And that starts by starting the year off saying, God, I'm ready. So I'm going to ask you to pick a fast. In the Bible, you'll find where Daniel had a certain fast that he did. You can Google that and find out. He mainly ate vegetables and gave us some other things, you know. And we have people here who do those kind of fasts, who give a Daniel fast. We have other people who give up certain types of food. We have some who give up Facebook. 21 days? Yeah, some of you need to do that. 21 days. They give up Facebook for 21 days. Or give up social media for 21 days. Some people, maybe it's TV. They give up TV for 21 days. I'm not going to tell you what you got to fast. All I'm telling you is this. I want you to, it should be something that challenges you. I love telling this story. It's a cute story. And it drives home the point. You know, when the first year that we had our fast here, I brought it, my youngest son, Hayden, he was like 8 or 9, and he's like, Dad, I want to fast. I want to join the fast. I was like, it's my son. I didn't tell him he had to do. He's only like 8 or 9. He's like, yes, Dad, I'm so moved, you know. Here, I didn't ask him to do it. He on his own said, Dad, I want to join the fast. I said, yeah. He goes, yes, I'm going to give up cheeseburgers. This kid loves cheeseburgers, especially when he's younger. That's all he wanted to eat was cheeseburgers. He could eat a cheeseburger every meal, every day. He loved it. He goes, I'm giving up cheeseburgers. From now on, for 21 days, I'm only eating hamburgers, no cheeseburgers. You get to what I'm saying. Take something that, don't give up coffee if you don't ever drink coffee but once a week, okay? Give up something that is going to really challenge you, okay? It's denying myself. God, I'm denying myself. Putting you back at the center. I want you to, during that time, I want you to commit to reading one Bible chapter a day. Listen, Psalms and Proverbs are full of really small chapters. You can do that in 30 seconds in some of these books. You don't have to read just one chapter, but you're committing at least reading one chapter a day. Psalms and Proverbs are great places to start. Matthew, Luke, Romans are great places as well. But just spending time at the feet of the Lord. How about spending time in prayer every day? Every day you're going to spend, as you're fasting, God, I just want to spend some time communing with you. How do I pray, Pastor? Just share what's on your heart. It's like you talk to your best friend. God, this is what I'm going through. And then you stop and listen as well. Just bless the Lord with your words. If you have cares in your heart, share them with him. If you have needs, share it with him. And then stop and listen to what he says. God, speak to me today. Direct me today. I'm telling you, he'll speak if we'll just slow down and listen. Spend time in prayer every day. And I'm asking you also to listen to only worship or Christian music during 21 days. And what I mean by that, anytime you would normally listen to music, maybe when you're in your car, maybe when you're getting ready in the morning, maybe when you're cleaning the house or cooking dinner, whatever it is, you usually would listen to the music to your playlist or to the radio or talk radio, you'll say, no, I'm just going to put on Christian music, worship music, and just flood my house, flood my car, flood my spirit, the things of God. Why? Can I tell you, in 21 days, we can refocus. In 21 days, we can realign. And we can set ourselves up to have a year of thriving. So this year, I'm asking, we're going to start it tomorrow. It starts tomorrow, Monday morning. Tomorrow morning, we're going to start a 21-day fast. And so I want you to begin to pray about that. Listen, I don't want you on Facebook saying, oh my God, I'm fasting. Coffee, and I'm going through a caffeine coma right now. That's not how you fast. You're not looking for people to pat you on the back. Is it for you to exalt yourself? Isn't it your excuse to say, listen up. I just want you to say, God, I'm doing this. The Bible says when you fast, you get up and you wash your face. Make sure you look right, presentable. Don't act like anything's wrong. Don't go to work like, everybody get out of my way. Oh my God, I'm fasting. report. Don't send me text. Pastor, my husband had a crouton and he's fasting bread. Oh my God. You're not the fasting police, okay? Find somebody that you know who maybe wants to do the same thing and say, hey, let's be accountable to each other. Let's send texts encouraging each other every day on this. How you doing today? How am I doing? And you know, today was a hard day. Today I fell off. We'll get back up tomorrow. Let's keep going. Come on. We can do it. Encouraging each other, okay? I'm asking you, how many will raise your hands and say, Pastor, I want to accept the 21-day challenge. I'm going to join the church in a 21-day fast. It's okay. There you go. I want you to bow your heads real fast as you do. Where are you? It's the question I ask. Where are you today? The most important question today I could ever ask you. The most important thing you do. The first part of thriving in your life is the first part is you. Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you believed in your heart? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? If you have not today, today's your day to do that. It's the first step in planting yourself. You can't go deep if you haven't planted yourself first. And the first part of planting yourself is saying, Jesus, I need you in my life to be the Savior of my life. Submitting yourself to Him. Submitting yourself to His Lordship. With nobody looking right now, I want you to bow your heads. Only me, only person looking at me right now, I want to ask you this question. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. You want to join? We had three people this morning in the first service that made this decision. And today, I believe it's going to be more, even in this service, to say, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior today. If that's you right now, raise your hands. That's me. I'm ready to make Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your mic and say, thank you. Yes. Anybody else today? Come on, raise it. That's you today. So I'm ready to accept Jesus. Raise your hand right now. Ready to confess Him as Lord of my life. If you haven't raised it, raise it right now. Thank you. This is what we're going to do. We're going to say it out loud. And today, if you raise your hands, I want you to say this prayer out loud as I repeat it to you. Repeat it after me. And as Christians sitting around you, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. And I need you to be Lord of my life. I surrender all I am to you today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And from this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give my hand clap. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, it's just a beginning step. I need you to go back when you leave today. We'll have our garage door open back here at our hub. We have a free Bible and some information we want to put in your hands. If you made that prayer today, we rejoice with you. I want you to stand on your feet today. Are you ready today? Is this going to be your year to thrive? You say, God, I'm ready. Man, I'm ready to go deeper. How many is ready to go deeper, man? I want to meet the Lord. I want to lead my family in meeting the Lord. I want to lead my family in going deeper. I want to lead them. It starts today. Say, God, I'm ready this year. Refocusing my life back. Come on. Let's sing this out. Let's make it personal to God. Say, God, we're going there. Can we lift our hands one more time to the Lord? Father, I thank you, Lord, for people who are ready to go deep this year. God, I thank you that you're challenging us today. God, some of these words were hard. They hit us right where we live, and that's okay, because the Word of God sometimes does that. It corrects us, and it motivates us, and it challenges us to change. Father, I pray this year will be a year of growing deeper. God, forgive us for allowing the world to set the schedule. God, may we get back to leading our families well, letting them thrive. Father, I pray right now that God, there is a root system happening here. That God, you're allowing people to go deeper in you, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. God, there's a lifestyle change happening. God, where you are spending time with us and we're meeting you in the place you've planted us. And God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this year. God, you're setting us up to thrive, to blossom, to bear much fruit in you. And we say together, amen. Come on, if you believe that, put your hands together. Say, I believe that 100%. Listen, I can't wait. I'm already ready to share week two, okay? Next week is going to be the second part of this. You don't want to miss it. I guarantee you it's going to hit home. God bless you. We love you very, very much. You guys have a great afternoon.